the Dork Podcast. With Rich Keefe. It's the Dork Podcast.
Brian Davey.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag
Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Rick Rude Von Dick Dude. He is Ravid Von David. He's a PlayStation exclusive. All hail the King of Ginger Ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm on top of the world right now, Richard. How are you?
Hell yeah, same. Also yeah. On top of the world. Yep. You and me on the tallest mountain in the world.
And we will tour the countryside.
K2. Remember at one point it was? I think it was K2.
Was it?
Tallest mountain. Yeah.
What's that joke? Like, what was the tallest mountain in the world before Mount Everest?
I don't know.
It's always been Mount Everest. Or no, it was before people discovered Mount Everest. I'm like, well, it was still Mount Everest.
Still Mount Everest.
Yeah.
What's heavier, a pound of bricks or a pound of feathers?
Oh, that's where they get you.
Anyway, you know? We're here to talk about episode 8 of The Last of Us. Once again, it's spoilers for the TV show entirely and spoilers for the video game up until this point of the TV show. We're not going to go any further than that. It is the penultimate episode of season 1, so we're looking forward to the finale next week. And man, what a great episode. 52 minutes or so, I think, was the entire runtime. And let me ask you right out of the chute here, Ryan, if forced into it, could you see yourself being a cannibal?
Now, again, you said like if forced into it, meaning forced if this was like it. Something that, yeah, that I couldn't avoid.
Well, no, not, oh, no, God, it's hot. I'm talking like, so this is the first, a lot of zombie shows, and I feel bad even kind of just lumping this in with zombie shows. You and I both played the game, love the game, so we view it differently than that. However, any kind of post-apocalyptic show has some sort of group that is cannibals, and we get introduced to some here. And what's interesting with this group is they certainly all don't know about it. There's only a couple of them that even know that that's what's happening. They're like, oh yeah, just we're all having deer again tonight. Definitely having deer. And they're like, doesn't fucking taste like deer. But to me, and this isn't, I'm not trying to be like, you know, a great guy or anything. I would probably draw the line on that. I don't think I could do it. I probably would die of hunger before I turned to cannibalism, I think.
I feel like you asked me that question like 4 minutes ago and then just got around to asking it.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to preface it as if to say, I don't know if I caught you off guard. As if
to say. You know, the thing that was messed up though, I think one, I probably would if push came to shove, that was the last thing I'd have to be like starving. Like this is last resort. This is like Papa Roach last resort here. Like this is it. Like I'm going to cut someone else's life into pieces.
Yeah.
That's a terrible joke. I apologize. Now,
brand with the song.
What was really messed up was the fact that they fed that girl her own father.
Yeah.
Like that family members. No,
that's fucked.
Has to be someone I don't know.
And not to take it too dark, but I feel like if I was living in this world and I didn't really have anybody close, like I didn't have family members, then maybe I'd be like, yeah, my time. But if I had family members and this was the only way to prolong it, I guess at that point, maybe you're like, all right, I got to fucking see this through. But
yeah, like that movie Alive, it was someone they knew. And I always found it weird that the first thing they went for was the tukas.
Yeah, a lot of meat, yeah. the old bum. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. I think you go thigh or something. No, they went right for the tukas.
Remember the old asshole?
Yeah,
they specifically ate the asshole.
They were like, "What should we eat first? It's a delicacy. I want my first meal for a while. It's a delicacy in some countries.
Like, don't even cook it. Like, Jesus Christ, man!
Yeah, straight balloon nut.
Like, I'm still very hungry. Like, anyway, yeah. So that's what you get. So, like, well, Yellow Jackets deals with cannibalism too.
Yes, it does.
But hey, it's not for the weak stomach or the faint at heart.
No, the apocalypse is not PG.
No. I also think this episode, Rye, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but through 8 episodes, we've seen some pretty cool stuff from both Joel and Ellie. I would say on like the badass scale, this was the highest for both of them.
Yes, and again, in two completely separate ways. I mean, you have Ellie, who is just full psycho in this episode, which was awesome. And then Joel, you know, getting healed and doing his Joel thing. You get to see another awesome interrogation scene.
Oh.
And then, like, I'll pop your kneecap off as direct from the game. yeah. which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one, I say it every week, but I feel like so many moments just put you right back in the video game. Even the opening scene of this, when they're sitting in there, they later, they're like, oh, it's like a resort, but it's basically like the restaurant area. But as soon as you're sitting in that, and like the way the windows are, the way the wall is, the way like the booths are, I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh shit. I spent some time in there like 10 years ago playing this game.
And it's incredible. Like just they actually did a boss fight for the, for the show. Yeah. I mean, the set design, like you said, was absolutely crazy. The fact how you had to do it. Remember, because you had to like keep making shivs and like he was chasing you around the restaurant, but couldn't see you the whole time.
Yeah, and like when you're on fire, the place is on fire, and you're running around hiding behind stuff, and he's talking to you. And I haven't played the game in a while, but I'm guessing they pulled a lot of the dialogue from it.
Oh yeah, I wanted you to pull for the board, like you don't know how good I am. Like add that to the board.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, but I think the other thing, he has a gun at that point. Mm. I'm almost positive he has a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only difference, I think.
I think you might be right. But it's just, yeah, that is just pretty wild. And you know not to trust anybody in this world. And so she meets, we meet James and David before Ellie does, like we the audience. And so you're sort of trying to make heads or tails of these guys and what the deal is. And I feel like it's probably not fair to religion in general, but anytime a show has any kind of like preacher character, I'm always just like, can't trust them. Don't trust that.
And again, I know that the people who are who had a problem with the LGBTQ representation in the show are now really going to have a problem with like the one religious person in the show is a cult leader and they eat people. Like that's so the left. You know, but
however, I think they did a good job to at least make it clear that this guy he's not like legitimately a preacher.
He found
God after the flip.
And I had a little bit of an issue because what did he do before he was a teacher? So great.
Teacher into a preacher.
Yep. Yeah. Cult leader charisma is a dead giveaway, as Josh says in the chat. And it's also like you said, it's remarkable that anytime a man of the cloth pops up on screen, I'm like, nope. So I started watching The Leftovers, by the way.
How far are you?
What's her name just got stoned to death. It's the name of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
The smoking people. But I tell you that the guy, I forget the guy's name, Robert Carlyle. No, it's not Robert Carlyle, but it's the guy who plays like the preacher.
Yeah. Yeah. The
Gary Coon's brother.
Yeah, the brother. Yeah.
Big psycho energy coming off that guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
I don't know where it's going, but
just wait with that guy. Holy man, that guy takes you on a roller coaster for sure. Really? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
He was in Doctor Who. You know the guy I'm talking about?
I know exactly who you're talking about. I can't think of his name, though, but I could see his face. I could see many scenes that he's in. And he
was also the bad guy in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh, how do you like that?
Yeah. Chris Eccleston.
I don't think I've ever even heard that name. I've seen him in all those movies.
Remember, he was like the carpenter. He made the coffin for Nicolas Cage. He had that really weird accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went for it. That guy's committed to it. You got to give him that. But yeah, the name of this episode was When We Are in Need, because you see it like on the banner and then it's like, he will provide. He hasn't really for these people as the one girl.
No, he's failed. He's failed at that. Yeah.
Jog my memory. Who was her dad that Joel killed? Was the guy in Colorado?
No, because they said they came from Pittsburgh, right?
Well, he said they came from Pittsburgh, but they've clearly been where they are now for a little while.
Yeah.
And then he's like, David tells the story. He's like, we sent four people out, three came back, and the one that died
died at the hospital.
So it was? So they were basically just like raiders then?
Yeah.
Okay. It's
the guy from the hospital. Yeah, he said he sent them out for supplies, just to look for supplies.
Okay.
And they went to they were going to the hospital and came out. Yeah. So they had, that's
who that was.
The guy with the bat.
Yeah. And then, because she was like, it's self-defense. But that was like a cool moment though, because like David and Ellie are sitting around the fire and James has gone back to get the medicine and they're sitting there, they're talking, and you're just like, you're still trying to figure out David at this point. You're trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And then all of a sudden, James comes back. But then, like, right before that is when the first moment I think you really got David being kind of like maniacal, when he's like setting her up, and then he's like, actually, like, we, like, he knew who she was the whole time.
Yes. And that was such a, that actor who did that was pretty awesome. Like, he, the smooth transition into one from one thing to the other.
Yeah.
If you, yeah, that was great.
Yeah. That was,
didn't break stride, like, kept his tone the same, like, didn't, you know.
Scott Shepherd is Scott the name Shepherd. Of the actor who plays David. He was also
on IMDb right now, like, looking at all these people.
He was in El Camino. I don't remember that. The Breaking
Bad. He was one of the cops.
Got it.
Remember when the cops come and they're looking for the
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then obviously James is played by Troy Baker. You talked about this last week.
I did. And what a cool, like, if you watch the kind of the after show thing, they actually talked to Troy Baker about it and being on the other side of it. And he said he didn't know who he was playing. They wanted him to play somebody, but he thought he was just going to be like a clicker or like something like that. And then he wound up being
a big role.
James, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was James. So voice of Joel in the game for those of you that didn't play the game.
And it's funny. You could get a little, every once in a while when he talked, you could get a little bit of it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Also, just like the game, you get a little bit of Ellie having to leave Joel and try to go hunting, like go in the woods. She's like, you know, tripping over herself, sees the bunny, then shoots the deer. And what a fucking awesome scene where she's chasing after the deer, and that's where James and David are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, all right, here's little Ellie here's two guys standing over the deer. And she's like, hey, fuck off. Like, like, walk away. That's all. Like, she's the best. She's the absolute best.
And what is she? Yeah, go tell him. He keeps asking her name, and she's like, tell him it's Ellie who broke your fucking finger.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he called her the C word.
Yeah. Yeah. Big. Yeah. Hard C. You don't hear that a lot.
No. No. Especially when talking about a 14, 15 year old.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably frowned upon. Now, is that where they were going there? Is he was looking to her as
a child bride?
Yeah,
if we can say it nicely. Yes, a consort.
Yep.
Yeah. This was not. We're hitting cannibal and pedophilia, like all in the same.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The bad guy. This guy's a bad guy.
Yeah.
You got to.
Are you still following that bad guy?
What? That's actually was his name. Was his name David? Shit! I gotta go back and watch.
We have to go back and watch. That would be a. We need to put that.
Jesus, she might have said David. Like, yeah.
Oh, now I have to look at
that guy. You better dump him, girl. Oh, by the way, Billy D put out a fucking awesome. You see this? He did like a trailer. Mac and Goo are doing I Think You Should Leave characters for their March bracket. And
yes,
Billy D did like a 90-second supercut of both seasons of I Think You Should Leave. Fantastic.
That, yeah. I mean, there's never a video that Billy makes that isn't good.
That's true.
So
this one might be my favorite. We also retweeted at Dork Podcast if you haven't seen it yet. Let's see what else. Oh, so I understand Ellie not wanting to trust them. Like, she shouldn't. She might have trusted them too much. And she, like, they're like, hey, just come on back to the camp. And she's like, I'm not fucking stupid. So she's like, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But taking the medicine from somebody is a risk, isn't it? Like, because, and then, and you also leave knowing that they're kind of on to you, and the one guy clearly wants you dead, the other guy for some reason is letting you go, and then they give you two packs of medicine. And I know it was dire straits for Joel, but what if they could have put anything in that? They could have killed him immediately with the medicine. Well,
yeah, I think that, like you said, I mean, if you let him go, he's gonna die anyway, so you're gonna have to, like, that's it, what do they call a calculated risk, right? And she did offer them, which I thought was a great deal, like, just give me medicine and I'll give you half of this.
Yeah.
Right. So
the whole goddamn deer. She didn't take any of it.
I know she wasn't taking any of it. But that's those things. Like you said, I mean, someone is inexperienced as her. She doesn't know how much to trust if at all.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And then so great. See, so then the next day they go there and she's obviously like on alert, like she's aware that these guys might be coming after her. She first sees the birds, then she's like, oh shit. So she doubles back, gives Joel a knife, then she's like, fuck it, she goes up and she's like looking. She sees like, was it six dudes like on foot, and they're like walking towards her. And she gets on the horse, goes out of the same thing. She's like, "Hey, motherfuckers!" And she like shoots at them and then takes off. Awesome.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's more subtle ways to lead someone away from somebody.
That's the way I would have done it.
Yeah. Fuck you, double birds on the way out.
I also would have died immediately, but I
immediately because you BoJack. You get BoJacked.
I would have BoJacked it. Yeah.
Well, they BoJacked the horse in this one.
Well, so I was going to say they fucking shoot BoJack. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Son of a bitch. He's going clippity-clappity. How'd you say it?
He's going clippity-clappity. This fucking asshole, not BoJack. Tennessee Walker.
Someone got Tennessee Walker in this episode. And by the way, if you are a fan of horses, stop watching this show immediately, too. Oh.
Jesus Christ. But that's such shit. Like, that is, if you're, again, you're living in this apocalypse and it's been going on for 5 years, easy. No. 10, right?
Yeah.
Well, like all of Ellie's life, actually.
All of Ellie's life. So, no, because it's been like 20 years. It was 20 years.
Oh, so 20? All of Ellie's, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, they tell you the first episode.
The other like thing, too, now that you tell me, now that you, like, this dawned on me right now. Kill the horse. Eat the horse.
No, I was going to say the horse is fucking pretty valuable. I wouldn't kill it and eat it.
Well, I eat people, I would eat horse.
Yeah, they say there's a ton of protein in horse.
It's not a lot of fat. So it's kind of tough.
Yeah, but like, think about the protein put in your body. Alistair Overeem used to eat horses. He was an MMA champion.
Is Joe Rogan one of those things he's telling people eat husses?
I don't know if Rogan does, but Alistair Overeem did. He was my favorite MMA guy for a while. Pride fighting, UFC.
What's the weirdest animal you've ever eaten?
I ate a fucking bull heart and I was pissed about it. I didn't know I was eating bull heart. We were at some restaurant and like my wife's the foodie. I could give a rat's ass. And so I'm like, order like, and it was one of those places where you get like small dishes.
Yeah.
So she ordered like a million things and I'm like, I didn't even ask. And I just ate it. And she's like, what'd you think of that? And I was like, I don't know. Not great. I'm like, what was it? She was like, bull heart. I go, how dare you?
How dare you?
Like, that's like eating the soul of the animal.
I just ate the animal's essence.
I've also eaten, like, what's pate? What is that?
That I think that's just,
what's pate?
Is that liver?
Did I have that maybe one time? Pate. People in the chat would know. What's the weirdest thing you had?
I've had uni. I've had live sea urchin.
That's dangerous, right?
No, it's not a puffer fish. They just come and like they take a sea urchin, they just crack it open on the table. That was odd. Yeah. Rattlesnake, ate gator. Ooh. You know gator?
I think I have had gator.
Mm-hmm. I've had gator. That's about it.
That's a wild creature. That's a wild creature.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Pate equals part human.
No, I think a pate is just how it's just how it's prepared. Because I know, like, liver is, like, I've had liver.
I don't know what it is, though, because I remember even my wife didn't eat it. And she's like, I'm not going to eat that. I'm like, I'll try anything. Jay says, didn't Davey eat a live urchin? Yeah, good memory. Good memory.
I did. Yep.
Joe ate a snake ankle. Fucking snake ankle. Oh, God. Oh, so people are saying it's liver. Yeah. All right. It is liver. You were right about that.
My aunt gave me a spoonful of liverwurst once when I was a kid and told me it was cookie dough because it kind of has the same.
That's cruel and unusual.
That bitch.
That fucking bitch.
Everyone's got that weird aunt, right? That's my Aunt Linda. Yeah. I was like 8.
Unreal.
Those were dark times.
Haven't fully recovered.
Eating liverwurst by the spoonful.
No, not great. So my point is it's been 20 years and the fact that there's still like a working horse like that. And if you're this people and you're taking trips, I feel like the horse is more valuable than Ellie or. Cause like, yeah, eventually I guess you could eat the horse, but I would use the horse. And this guy just fucking runs up to a gate and blasts the fucking horse down. There goes BoJack's guts spewing everywhere. Give him the remedy.
There's no Tennessee Walker coming.
No replacement fucking BoJack.
Can't just whistle and a clippity clap comes along.
That I had BoJack like souped up. He was fast. He was handsome. He had all the weapons. Oh my God.
Big old saddlebags.
I shot
anything in there.
I shot him right in the ear, I think. I went right through his fucking brain. It was completely unnecessary. There was like two shitheads on the other side of it, probably with like a billy club, and I fucking shot him through the brain. And I was like, like reset the game. Like, now your horse.
It's all right though. You know what makes me happy, Richard? You know what thought tickles me?
What's that?
He didn't feel any pain.
No. No. It was a quick death.
It was a clean death.
It was. No, it wasn't clean. It was blood. It was so bloody. There was so much blood. I couldn't believe they put that much blood in the game. I was like, I go, what is this?
It's like in Mortal Kombat, you uppercut somebody and four rib cages pop out.
Yeah, that was. It was
way more bones than anybody ever has.
That is an underrated part of the Mortal Kombat fatality.
Just how many bones.
The cemetery worth of bones that just exploded out of Shiva.
If it's a well-to-do Mortal Kombat combatant, that's their money.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love Mortal Kombat.
I love after all these years, we're still having BoJack conversations and laughing about them.
I mean, that was a moment in time.
This certainly was.
Oh my God!
I miss it. Where were we? We were talking. Yeah, horses are more valuable than cars. Horses,
I feel like that's fucked. Like you don't want them to get away, but I would also track the horse down and be like, "We need a horse." That group didn't have shit. They just hung. No. They just hung out in a resort and ate people. That was a terrible group to be a part of.
Just quoted Bible verses and ate each other. That sucks.
It sucks. I would have gotten one sniff of that like an hour in. I'm like, I'm going south.
This isn't for me. Where's that nice couple in the cabin who had the rabbits?
Yeah. I'm going to go shack up with them. Yeah. What was I going to say about that group? They didn't have much. And I love how Ellie kind of called them out when like, he's trying to be really nice to her. And he's like, why don't you come back to like my group? And like, he had already made the mistake of telling her that his group is hungry. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh yeah, I want to go back to your hungry group. Because she's already seen what a really well-run situation could look like. Mm-hmm. So she knows it's possible that you can have actually a community like there was in Jackson.
Right.
So she sees this guy being like, hey, we're starving and we're going to steal your deer. So, oh my Christ.
Not a group I would want to join either. He said, you already told me you don't have a lot of food. Right. Why? What's the sell here?
Yeah. No, terrible. Yeah. You knew, I mean, obviously you knew Joel was going to wake up. He wasn't going to just like die on the mattress, but they do a good job of kind of setting it up where he is in bad shape still. She's injected him twice with the penicillin. And then cool scene where like the guy's sneaking in there. He's got the gun. He realizes there's like a door shut. So he goes in there, you see the mattress, not on the mattress. Then just a classic chokeout. Classic first kill for Joel this episode. Just a very intimate chokeout is what you get. Just
a very intimate chokeout and a little knife plunge into that artery, you know?
And then you see another one of these idiots from the cannibal corpse. They're out there and they see another guy, like one of their guys is down. And then you get the butt end of the gun. And now you bring them both and it's an interrogation. And this is as cool a shit as there is for Joel. So you have one guy duct taped to a couch, another guy duct taped to a chair. And it just looks like anytime there's like a window and there's like sand or like snow or earth, like into the room. It's such a classic video game.
It's such a classic video. Yeah. Cause that's how you know which windows you can go into, if the ones that are already partially open.
Right. Yeah. You're like that one you can't even go into.
But I love the scene. I'm watching it on Twitter right now. They already got it like recapped and everything like that. Oh, yeah. The whole scene. Yeah. Just the knife. I can't imagine having my kneecap taken off by a knife, a full tang knife.
No. Oh, yeah. That was a full tang knife.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I love when he gives him that routine, though, from before where he's like pointed on the map. Your guy better say the same thing. And the guy's like freaking out or whatever. And then He fucking kills him. And then he walks over and the guy's like, I'm not going to tell you shit. And he's like, that's fine. I believe him.
And he,
what a oh my God, great that's line. The coolest shit in the world. The I ain't telling shit, you yeah. shit. That's okay. Like, that was the calmest he was, like, this whole series. It's like, that's okay.
But that's, I mean, that's the difference, right? I mean, that's the difference of the two characters is, like, yeah. Ellie fucking snaps.
Ellie loses her shit. Yeah, it's great. And then, oh, my God, like, the scene where she's on, like, James and David get her, put her on the fucking table, and then she says that she's bit, so there's a little bit of confusion. She grabs the meat cleaver.
Yeah.
Boom! Right to James's here. This spot here,
not here. No, here no. So much.
This spot,
right there. Yep.
Call that's a broken collarbone for one. Mm-hmm. Least of your concerns. You're probably gonna bleed out from that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's a lot of blood in that region of the body.
And that's a huge blade. Like that is just there's blood just pouring out.
It right in there.
Now, good call. So Jay in the chat, when they interrupt that little scene there. Smart thinking by Ellie on her feet because she bit David. She mm-hmm. bit David. And then right before she cuts him up because they're like, all right, they're going to feed Ellie. And not to be morbid, but Ellie would feed like three people. She's a tiny, right. She's a tiny little girl.
Just a wisp.
But they're going to kill her anyway. And then she's like, quick thinking. She's like, hey, I'm infected. And now you're infected too. So good, great question by Jay in the chat. Does Ellie, who clearly is immune to it, but she did... She would have been infected. Like she, right? Like she got bit by somebody,
right?
By an infected. So does her bite infect people?
I don't think so because it's not, if you've seen in the show, it's like it's the spores. Like I don't think she has any spores.
No, in she's, her. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think she is either.
I mean, she does, but they're like contained or something. I don't think so. I mean, you saw like that awesome kiss that Tess got from, you know, where the cordyceps are kind of reaching out.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have any of those. Up there, I don't think the bite will do anything.
Yeah, I would guess no to that as well. Now, he's not going to have to worry about it because she violently killed him.
Oh, yes.
That was probably like 20 blows.
Stomped a mud hole in him.
Now, I don't think, on the one hand, I don't think they needed to drag that scene out any longer. On the other hand, I do feel like she kind of beat him pretty easily. Like he was on top for a second. Like he definitely had his moment there, but mm-hmm. they could have made it worse. And it's probably better that they didn't.
It's way better that they didn't. No. Because in the game, it's also like implied, like nothing. I don't think Ellie. No, yeah. I don't think that happens. But it's close. And again, I think so. You get him. You remove him from Ellie, right? And then she's kind of skirting around the outside. I would drag, like you said. I think it was the right amount of timing, but you could have dragged that out a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Like, or just done a cutaway.
Yeah.
Where it seemed like it was a longer time.
And they didn't show much. Like, we've seen some shows where they give you everything with, like, do you think they chose to, like, not show as much of, like, the blood and the smashing? Because I feel like the Joel scene was, like, pretty violent and pretty, like, gory, but the Ellie one was all more like in play. You see her plunging it, mm-hmm. but you don't see anything else.
Well, it kind of obscures the camera a little bit too, right? Like it starts like splashing on the camera, so it's like you're there, and she's getting pretty bloody, at that point too. But it's reminiscent of Pedro Pascal's death in Game of Thrones.
Oh my God,
just getting the skull crushed. There's probably nothing left of that head
because he was a bit of a show off, you know. Otherwise, he would have won that fight.
Ah, and I'm screaming at the TV. You know, it's just like, just end it.
Oberyn.
Just end it. Was
out there. He
dominating.
Man, the showman, fucking though.
Dominating, you know?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter to him. If
he did like the Steph Curry, like, huck up the three and turn around and look at the bench. Like, don't do that.
What if it goes in?
Well, it did. But the problem is he didn't stay down. It was like, there was still time on the clock.
There's way too much time for Oberyn, which is too bad. But, and then they finally, like, this episode was so good for both of them. I think it really strengthened both characters. It also strengthened the bond together, despite the fact that they were barely in it together right at the beginning. And then that one moment where Ellie like gives him the knife and is like, you gotta don't fall asleep. And then she takes off. But then at the end, like when they hug, like that's, I know we've been sort of getting to this point and like clearly Ellie likes Joel a lot. And that's why she freaked out at him in Wyoming when he was just going to dump her there. But like, this is one of the first times I think you really see how important the other one is to the other.
Yes, and he calls her baby girl, which is what he called his daughter. And he, yeah. I believe he's one of the last things he said to her was like, I got you, baby girl. I think that's one of the last things he says to Sarah. So you've seen now this, this is her now, you know, like I have to, it's not about protecting her for cures. It's just to protect her because, you know, I love her.
Yeah.
And that's the, so it's awesome. And just to see, again, you see Ellie go so far violent and now Joel softening. So like the two of them are kind of have crossed in that respect. And this is one of the things I love about the games is, you know, not to give too much away, but how those two things kind of weave in and out. Mm-hmm. How at Joel's weakest, Ellie's violent. And when at Ellie's weakest, Joel is violent. Mm-hmm. And how those two things go like that is just pretty remarkable storytelling.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And you really, both of them, even a, I don't know what you would call them, 25% health Joel is very capable. Yes. And Ellie, despite being 14, is also one not to trifle with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, she knows what she's doing.
But I think one of the great things about these characters, too, is Joel absolutely knows his limitations and Ellie doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, so Joel knows how to play that perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, and just using whatever he had, like you said, whatever 25% or whatever he had to the best of his abilities.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Ellie just is headlong and rash and does stupid shit all the time. Like, you didn't have to break the guy's fingers. You could have waited, bought yourself some time.
Needed it.
Yeah.
Needed it. next episode, the season one finale, Look for the Light, comes out on Sunday. And are you ready for that?
No, because I know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Yep. So they get to probably, it looks like Salt Lake City. They're where they need the end point of game one. And this is going to be...
Looking forward to seeing how they do it. They've done a hell of a job all season, so
I will be incredibly jet lagged and overly emotional. So I can't wait to watch this and
get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You were going to be out of the country, but are you still on board to recap this bad boy?
As far as I know, if not, you'll hear from me. You'll hear from Interpol.
Okay, get them on the horn.
Yeah, if you get a strange call from the EU, it's me.
We'll take it. So we'll pod you right up. All right. So yeah, next week we'll do the finale, and I obviously can't wait for that. My one concern is I wonder how long it's going to take them to make season two.
They probably are. There's so I know they've cast people.
Okay.
So I mean, how much time does Pedro Pascal have?
He's a busy dude. He's a busy man. Yeah, Mandalorian. So we'll have that in a few weeks to discuss. Yellow Jackets comes out end of the month. Succession. I know you're not watching that, but that comes out at the end of the month.
That's the last season too, right?
Yeah, season four is the last season. So looks pretty crazy. They had another trailer for it right before this episode. Looks pretty fucking great. Anything else before we get out of here?
RIP BoJack. One more time.
Fucking BoJack.
Can we talk about horses getting destroyed in movies and television as being bojacked?
They got bojacked.
Yeah.
They got bojacked. Well, especially if they get shot by an asshole. That's for
sure getting bojacked. Right between the ears.
Right through the fucking brain. didn't have a goddamn chance. did it miss him? No, I didn't miss him.
No, I did not miss.
Smoked him.
Dropped him like a 1500 pound bag of shit. Just see you later.
Shot of the night. It was the Overwatch play of the game.
I had to watch it in slow motion several times.
God.
Let's get out of here. No more BoJack talk.
That'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe at Dork Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Follow us there. And in conjunction with the Rich Keefe Show, we are doing the best fictional athletes for hashtag Dork Madness. Voting starts on Monday. We're going to do it from the at Rich Keefe Show Twitter account just because I had to start that from fucking the square one.
Hey, we got to goose it. They goose it.
We got to goose it a little bit. We got to goose it. So I'll try to retweet them from Dork Podcast too. But if you could throw that one a follow, please do. And then try to shoot that thing to the moon. And there you go. That'll do it for us. Rod, you don't give a shit about anything, do you?
What'd you say?
I said, you don't give a shit about anything, do you?
Not really.